This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Glad you can be with us on a Wednesday on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Chicago State men's basketball team will not travel due to the coronavirus. Women's home games are also getting canceled because of this. It's the first of its kind so far in this country. Health and well-being of the campus community in mind is being cited as the reason for this. I don't know if this is going to be the, you know, the one little pebble rolling down the hill that turns into the big snowball. I do not know. But I know that this is the first now, and I don't know what other schools and what other teams are thinking when it comes now to where this virus is, the kind of spread it is, the kind of panic that people seem to be caught up in, whether it's right or, you know, whether it's justified or not. I don't the science of it, I'm not interested in, but I am interested in how sports is reacting to this. We talked about this last week. There's a possibility that the Olympics could get moved or canceled this season based on the coronavirus in Tokyo of this year. There are world events that are going to be occurring where this conversation is going to be had. There's a possibility of the NCAA tournament having to make adjustments. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition or not. I do know, though, that it's on the table. And you know what? It's not on the table all the time. It's not on the table at all, really. You know, and you have to have something like this to have a conversation in which we'll play basketball games in front of empty arenas based on the spread of this. It's kind of scary because a guy like me, I try to follow it. I try to figure out the science. And I've heard from a couple of you on, you know, the severity of this, the non-severity of this. But does Chicago State, I mean, look, they won't travel for a couple of games in the Western Athletic Conference this week because of this virus, right? They're not going to play Seattle or Utah Valley University for their conference games. If it's easy for Chicago State to do this, how easy is it going to be for other schools as we get to conference tournament time, where the SoCon schools are going to be gathering this weekend in Asheville, North Carolina, or the Ohio Valley Conference is in Evansville, Indiana? We might be having some conversations next week about this.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Looking at some NFL. Ron, it is time for us to realize that if Gardner Minshew really is the magician that we think he can be, he's going to have a lot of magic to conjure up for this Jacksonville team this upcoming season. The Jaguars traded A.J. Boye, their corner, to the Denver Broncos for a fourth-round pick.
It's all part of the plan.
Yeah, Yannick Ngakoue does not want to be there. They'll probably franchise him, but he has no interest in being there whatsoever. This was a team that was like a few plays away from the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Moving on from Nick Foles, because, you know, why not? They got Gardner Minshew. Is there a more dysfunctional team in the NFL, maybe in sports, than Jacksonville, who can't seem to sustain any level of success whatsoever? Now, remember, they just
Outside of Cleveland. Forget about those guys.
But at least Cleveland has a dedicated fan base that is angry with things that happen to them, whereas Jacksonville has a passive fan base that doesn't get all riled up when, like, Jalen Ramsey goes, "Get me the hell out of here." No, and they go, "Oh well, what, you know, we don't blame you. Why not?" I mean,
they care when they're winning.
When they're losing,
it's like, "Oh, back to the same old
whatever." Let us know when the cocktail party comes in November.
I thought the trade of Abouye was, you know, that's all the smoke and mirrors of the magician, the magic of
Gardner
Minshew.
Maybe so.
Because just when you think he can't pull it together, like whenever you watch a magic act, all of a sudden, poof, there it is.
Yeah, that's right. remember, this was a team that tried to better itself by getting rid of Tom Coughlin. Remember that?
Well, that made sense, though.
Right? Where Tom Coughlin was just...
I can't fault that.
Literally, the Players Association was sending out releases to its members saying, don't sign with Jacksonville. Basically, the guy's a lunatic, and you don't want to play there because he's crazy. And Shad Khan said, yeah, all right, we agree. We're getting rid of him. Now, you know, I mean, would moving to London help? I mean, seriously, I hate the idea of a team in London because I just don't know how it would work logistically. But if you can tell me how it would work, great. Would moving to London help? Would people want to play for the team if they were in England? I mean, please.
I don't know so much if it's they don't want to play for the team. I think it is.
No, they don't.
No, I know. But I
Ngakoue is like, I don't want to be here. Jalen Ramsey was like, please get me out of here. I don't want to play here anymore.
But does that have a lot to do, say, with like ownership?
Well, I don't know. Is Shad Khan a bad owner?
I don't know. I don't know. Behind closed doors.
Is he not
bringing in the right coaching staff?
Maybe so. Maybe so. But there's something. Look, when they lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, that team should have said, look, we are close. We are close. We're turning the corner. All of these top 10, top 5 picks that we've had over the years, some of them really have been working out. We're kind of coming together. All right, we like where we're going. Let's go get it next year. And instead, they immediately went into disarray. You can't win games. All of a sudden, we're back to normal again.
Basically, what they're doing is it's actually what every Florida team does, really. I mean, if you think about it, the Marlins do this all the time. They build up a great team, win a championship, and then sell it for nickels and dimes.
But it's
start all over again. I mean, maybe that's just the Florida way.
Is it just bad? Is it just, I mean, what?
I've never been there. Is Jacksonville a terrible place to live?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, I've been there a few times. I mean, I don't know. I've never lived there, but I mean, it doesn't seem like it'd be terrible.
Yeah, I mean,
seem like it'd be nice places.
It's on the water.
It's near the water.
It's warm.
St. Augustine is nice. There's down the road is, the TPC Sawgrass at Ponte Vedra Beach. Right? So, I mean, it seems like a nice place to live. I'm sure Tim Tebow's from there. So, you know. It's nice enough for him.
Yeah.
But
so basically what you're saying is that it's heaven.
But it just, look, it's, yeah, right? Of course. But at the same time, it's they can't put anything good together. They can't bring anything to, listen, this is a team that they made it to the AFC Championship game in their second year of existence, right? They lost to the Patriots. Right, they a couple of years ago they were one. You know, they beat the Steelers in the postseason. I mean, they've had a few playoff runs with different quarterbacks and different teams.
But for the most part,
it's been a team that has had top 5 picks in the draft every single year, top 10 picks
in that AFC Championship game. It was close.
I mean, it was very close,
but there was like a moment that happened that tipped it, like they scored too fast or something like that.
Well, it's the typical way the Patriots would win some games, right? Like it would be a close, you'd have this lead on them, but then you'd get the ball back and then you'd punt and the Patriots would score. Then you'd get the ball back and you'd be like, I can't convert that key third down. And then you give the Patriots the ball back and then they score and win the game, right? That's basically how, that's how a lot of the games go with New England, where you can just see it coming a mile away. Yeah, they had a lead in the fourth quarter, and they lost it. And they, they didn't get. Knowing the Patriots, here's the weird thing. Knowing the Patriots and knowing that's what they do, there was still a moment in that game where I thought, man, I think Jacksonville might pull this off. This defense is for real. This is no joke, right? Steelers took them lightly in the playoff game, and then Jacksonville converted every third down they saw, including big third downs. Blake Bortles did just enough, and the defense was terrific. Again, next year supposed to be have turned the corner, couldn't turn the corner. And now you know, AJ Boye wanted to leave, so they traded him. Now they've got Ngakoue, he wants to go, and they're gonna franchise tag him, which means he's already said his goodbyes on Twitter. He's already saying, like, I don't want to be here. I'll play, I guess, if I have to stay, but I don't want to be here. Right? They got Nick Foles, that didn't work out. Now it's led to the legend of Gardner Minshew, but at the same time, who wants to play there? Right. They had this incredible core, right, of defensive players, incredible core. And hardly any of that core is left now. I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And this is a team that just announced it has to go to another game in London. Another game in London. Just to make some revenue to make the game experience better for the few people that come in Jacksonville. I mean, look, you're right about the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns, since their reemergence into this league in 1999 as an expansion team, have been an abysmal failure.
Yeah.
I mean, abysmal failure. The Jags in that 20-year period haven't always been an abysmal failure, have not always been an abysmal failure. They have made the playoffs and made playoff runs, but this Browns regeneration has only made one playoff appearance in its existence since coming in 99. This is not the team of the 80s that had Bernie Kosar and losing to the Denver Broncos. That team's in Baltimore. This expansion team has been a failure. But you can make the case that Jacksonville's been a failure too, because they don't have the fan base. There's not an enthusiastic group that's with you to the day you die. The idea that this owner has to play a game in another country, to maximize the revenue to then give the fans in Jacksonville six home regular season games, right? Because that's the way he has to do business in a football crazy country. I mean, we are nuts about the NFL. We're watching the combine in prime time. The draft is now an entertainment spectacular, right? NFL news and notes dominates every news cycle. And for whatever reason, that team since the mid 90s has not penetrated that city enough that they should be selling out every game. But you're right about this Florida thing. I spent a little bit of time in my life in West Palm Beach, and I will never forget the Dolphins were playing in a playoff game. I want to say early 2000s. They were playing, I think, Baltimore in an early playoff game. And the game was, the news was talking about how the game hadn't sold out, and it was possible that the game was going to be blacked out in the Miami area back when they did that kind of thing. I think they still do, but I think they've kind of relaxed those rules. But this playoff game for the Dolphins there was a threat that it was going to be blacked out on TV because the playoff game had not sold out. So I remember asking a few people in South Florida, I said, why is this, right? Why is this? And they're like, well, you know, there's just so much to do here, right? The weather's nice. You can go to the beach. You can take your boat out. You can go fishing. You can play golf. And I'm like, yeah, but you can do that every day here, right? A playoff game in the National Football League at home comes maybe once a year, and for some teams, once every 3 or 4 or 5 years. So this league is asking 75,000 people in this great area of population to buy tickets to watch their team play once in a blue moon. You can go to the beach tomorrow. You can go fishing next weekend. You can go on your boat on a Thursday night. You mean to tell me they won't buy tickets to the Dolphins, the Super Bowl, former Super Bowl champions, formerly undefeated Dolphins, a team that has history, a team that has been in the community a long time, the team that one time had one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game on its roster, and you can't get enough people to go see them in a playoff game that has been entrenched in through generation after generation after generation? And the answer was no. And in Jacksonville, it's the same thing. And in close to 30 years, they have not been able to penetrate the market enough to get the players to want to stay there, the fans to be enthusiastic about it, the owner to be confident enough in his own fan base population to secure 8 solid streams of revenue on Sundays during the league. In the league, he has to take his team to London twice. That's insane. And yet there are cities in this country that would eat that team up if you just moved them. Like, I'm watching Battle Hawk games on the XFL, and the enthusiasm for that product in St. Louis. All the St. Louis, what St. Louis wanted was a better owner. That's all they want. They weren't apathetic to football. It's a Cardinals town, I know, but they weren't apathetic to football. They would eat the Jaguars up if you moved them there. Probably a couple of other cities that would love an NFL team in its vicinity. And yet this owner is like, I got to go to London. And he's probably going to go to London for a few more games by the time this decade is over. It's crazy. Absolutely insane. At Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Hit us up there. It's SB Nation AM and SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. That's happened to me. So let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Guys, you know, when this show, one of the things that I like to do, it's one of the things that I wouldn't say pride myself on, but I just like to do it. And we do it on Throwback Thursday. I like to remember things in sports. I like to reminisce about things in sports because I do think that there are things that are current and there's news that we got to discuss. But I also think part of sports' charm is remembering things together, right? Remembering where we were when we saw these kind of moments in sports. Sometimes they're great moments in sports. Like when we talked about the United States Olympic team, the hockey team beating the Soviet Union. Some of you were alive at that time. But there's also some tragedy. There's also some moments where you absolutely remember where you were, because if you followed a particular sport, it was the big, big news of the day. 30 years ago today, Hank Gathers collapsed and died at the WCC tournament in the second round, playing for Loyola Marymount. And Loyola Marymount that year, this is 1990, were basically led by two players, and it was Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble. And Kimble led the country in scoring. Kimble was averaging 35 points a game. And that Loyola Marymount team went on, in his memory, to the NCAA tournament, where they made it to the Elite Eight. They eventually lost to UNLV, that really good Jerry Tarkanian team that went on to win the national championship. But Loyola Marymount was, with Frank Gathers and without Frank Gathers, a very exciting basketball team to watch. They were fast. They scored a ton of points. They beat Michigan. They almost put 150 points on Michigan in the NCAA tournament that year. But it was, you know, it doesn't matter if you were, how old you were, if you do remember Hank Gathers dying and how shocking that was, that a basketball player collapsed and died on the court. You may also remember the flip side of that and how Bo Kimble recognized and remembered his fallen friend throughout the tournament. He shot his free throws left-handed, which was, to me, a really bold thing to do if you don't do it well. But he did it well, and that's what he did. But, you know, it's hard. It's funny because even today, and this is how something, at least for me, I can't speak for all of you, but at least for me, I see Loyola Marymount in the news sometimes, based scoreboards, scoring, you know, however, wherever they pop up, you know, wherever they're popping up in the West Coast Conference. And I never, ever, ever see their name without thinking of Hank Gathers. It's 30 years later, and I never see their name thinking about it. Now, a lot of it has to do with Loyola Marymount not really having a huge history that I go, well, then I also remember this player, this player, this player, this player, this player, and this player. You know, look, when I think of Syracuse, Syracuse was my favorite college team when I was a kid. And my favorite player when I was a kid, because I watched a lot of Big East basketball, was Pearl Washington. I loved Pearl. But when I think of Syracuse basketball over the years, I don't immediately think of Pearl. I think of Ronnie Cicely. I think of, you know, I think of Derek Coleman. I think of Jerry McNamara. I mean, I think of all these players, Carmelo Anthony. I think of all of these players over the decades at Syracuse basketball. Same thing with Duke. I don't like Duke, but my first thought of Duke isn't necessarily Christian Laettner. I think of a lot of other players that have gone through Duke. Loyola Marymount has not had this long, deep, deep history of making it into the NCAA tournament. I mean, their last NCAA tournament appeared appearance was in 1990, right? Their last Sweet 16 and Elite Eight appearance was the year I just talked about. But it's still one of those memories that I have. I remember specifically where I was at the time when I heard Hank Gathers had died. And I didn't know Hank Gathers. I just, you know, I didn't know of him. I just knew that this basketball player on this very successful team had died during a conference tournament. And, you know, you just process that as a young kid, as well, you know, as a young man, as well as you could process it. But I do remember that tournament run. I do remember Bo Kimble honoring Hank Gathers, and what an inspiration it was to see that team make it all the way to the Elite Eight. And it's one of those moments in sports. Now, look, UNLV and Jerry Tarkanian, back in the 90s, they kind of represented sort of a little bit of the darker side of college basketball. Now, I'm not saying that team was nefarious or anything like that, but it was UNLV, it was Tarkanian. We'd later find out a couple of shady relationships that they had, but you couldn't help but root for a team that was playing for its fallen friend. I mean, you couldn't help but pull for what Loyola Marymount was trying to do. And like, listen, UNLV was a popular team. I remember even in New Hampshire in my school, people wore UNLV shirts if they could get their hands on them. They were really popular. But I think there was an emotional attachment to seeing, you know, Hank Gathers die on the court and then watching them make this incredible run in the tournament.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I lived in that area during that time, too. And it was just, I don't know, there was like a weird feeling. I mean, it was just a buzz. Talking about it all the time.
Right, right.
You know, and I mean, you know, we talked about earlier with the tightrope walker, watching him fall to his death. I was just curious. I was like, you know, see if on YouTube you can actually watch the game footage.
Oh, yeah?
And see him collapse and then, you know, everything happening afterwards. And the cameras are right on him. Like, I can't believe this is on, you know, this was being shown too.
Yeah. They just looking up that tournament, they beat Michigan 149-115. Regulation. I mean, that's a really good team, man.
They were a really good team.
And hats off to Alabama, because in the Sweet 16, they only won 62-60.
Yeah. but I mean, it would have been like, you know, that other Loyola team. I always forget who the other Loyola team.
Loyola Chicago?
Loyola Chicago.
Right.
You know, they had that magical run in there. And I bet you if they had Hank Gathers, they probably would have had a little bit more. You know, maybe there's a little more push, you know, we talked about it the beginning of that emotional attachment.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, you know, Tennessee being able to take down Kentucky because it was, you know, probably an emotional day for them.
Yeah,
and rose up to the occasion.
And again, it was, look, just going back, they had made the tournament the 2 years prior to the 1990 run. Now, they were out in the second round in 88 and the first round in 89. And look, I mean, we're talking about a man who died, so we're not talking about an injury here, so it's a little bit more serious. But Hank Gathers was a very important part of their success, right? They were second-team All-American selections in that season. So Gathers wasn't just a secondary player or just a guy that was a complimentary player. He was extremely important to their success. And so this story of how they you're talking about, again, you're talking about young men, 18, 19, 20 year old kids who saw their teammate and, you know, brother fall, collapse and die in the conference tournament. So now how do you regroup from that? Now, listen, there are coaches who can prepare their team for a variety of different things that come their way, right? But that coaching staff had to gather their team for an NCAA tournament run where young men who are shaken by what they saw, right? He didn't die in his sleep. He didn't die somewhere else. He died in front of them, and get them ready for an NCAA tournament. And they do this. They beat New Mexico State, Michigan, and Alabama before losing in the Elite Eight to UNLV. And it's one of the more historic runs you'll find in tournament history. I mean, if you go back to some of the Cinderella stories, maybe not so much Cinderella from a standpoint of they had these really good players, you know, one led the nation in scoring. But these stories that had a second story behind them, this is one of the top ones in NCAA tournament history. The Loyola Marymount team that 30 years ago went through the NCAA tournament in memory of a fallen player and gave us an emotional and memorable run to the Elite Eight. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And glad you can be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. On Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Michael, I remember the Hank Gathers moment in just a few years later. The same thing happened to Reggie Lewis with the Celtics. That's absolutely right. People were wondering, is this going to be a trend? Yeah, Reggie Lewis, a couple of years later, happened to him. So remember, I was just got into radio, and that was one of the first things I had to cut up, audio pieces I had to cut up, the Celtics press conference to announce that. However they announced it, Reggie Lewis had died in the summer of 93, 94, one of those years. Can't remember. But yeah, this date, Hank Gathers died 30 years ago. You know what else was on the date when I was checking out that kind of stuff? Michael Jordan took his first at bat in spring training in 1994 after retiring from the NBA. He was in a White Sox uniform in spring training. Now, when we look back on that, do we feel like we got the whole story as to how that went down? Or are we still a little perplexed as to what exactly happened, as to why Michael Jordan retired from basketball?
What are you talking about? He was going through an emotional time.
Right. What about his dad?
Baseball for his father. Still. I don't know what you're hinting at, Tony.
Why doesn't the Michael Jordan conspiracy theory get more run as far as conspiracy theories go? Let me just make a complaint here. Here's my complaint. Okay, there are so many people who believe we didn't go to the moon. Okay, like there is still, you could sit there and listen to this and go, oh my God, really? You don't think we went to the moon? Like, no, it's impossible. Look at this, blah, 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 blah. And look at this shadow and look at this, blah. And you got like Buzz Aldrin punching people in the face who say that he didn't go to the moon, right? But yet there's people willing to die on that hill that we did not go to the moon, right? Same thing with flat Earth. Right? People, there's a whole organization that believes that the earth is flat. Didn't a guy just die trying to get in a rocket ship to prove the earth was flat?
Yeah.
And it malfunctioned and he plummeted to his death? Right? To prove the earth was flat.
No, he plummeted because he fell off the earth.
That's right. That's right. Right? Still, you know, you got the JFK conspiracy theorists. You've got the what do they call it? False flag people who say that these tragic events are they're all government actors because the government is infiltrating them. And you can go online and you can see message board after message board after message board. They're holding conferences. They're selling T-shirts, spinning this tale. But the Jordan going to baseball because David Stern couldn't suspend him for gambling gets no run whatsoever. And yet, it's a plausible reason as to why he did that. I'm not saying it is the reason. Of course not. It's more likely that he wanted to play baseball because he could. He wanted to play baseball because his father wanted him to play baseball and his father tragically was murdered. All of those things are legit. But is it so far out in left field that it's not even part of the main country conspiracies? Like, you'd rather believe the earth is flat than Michael Jordan was suspended from the NBA and told to go play baseball for a bit until the gambling allegations died out? Like, seriously, I'm sorry. That's like, if I'm choosing, right? If I had to choose one and they said, pick one of them's true. The earth is flat, or Jordan played baseball because of the gambling allegations and what it meant to the NBA. Do you really mean to tell me you'd go, oh, well, the earth is flat? I mean, that Jordan thing is just way out there. I can never accept that. But you know what?
Or it's
the
more...
earth being, instead of being an orb, no, I'll buy it. It's just this flat piece of land. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in on that.
Or it's more believable that there was a frozen envelope.
Yeah, right. Oh,
that's
exactly.
More believable.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Same thing. It's just, it's really nuts. It really is. Like, it's really nuts that that this doesn't get as much fun run in the conspiracy world as it should. Now, listen, I believed it for a long time. Sam Smith, who I love and knows the Bulls inside and out, knows that Jordan era better than almost anybody, right? He wrote the book, The Jordan Rules, right? Sam Smith. He absolutely shot that down. He said, no chance that went down. And even like Steve Kerr and anybody who was associated with the Bulls back then said the same thing. No chance. But at the same time, I'm sorry, it is believable, isn't it? Like, let me ask you a question. So I'm not trying, again, I'm sounding like I'm kind of promoting this, but I just want to, it's just one of those discussions. If you are David Stern, picture yourself in David Stern, you're David Stern, and it's the 90s, okay? And Michael Jordan is not only the king of the NBA, he's the king of the globe, right? He's the most popular athlete, close to one of the most popular athlete on the planet, give or take a couple of soccer stars. I mean, his brand is all around the flat earth. Like, it goes to the edge of the flat earth.
Yep.
And you get wind that he's hanging around with bad people. And I don't mean like bad people. I mean like kill you, leave you for dead bad people. Like real mobsters, real killers, real gangsters. And he was heavily involved in gambling. And would boogie down to Atlantic City during playoff runs. And he was gambling. And he was gambling lots of money with bad people. Would you go to the press conference? Would you have a press conference to say that the bread and butter of your league was involved in the same thing baseball was trying to do with Pete Rose just a few years before? You watched, you're the commissioner of the NBA, and you watched Bart Giamatti die of a heart attack because of the pressure of what he was going through investigating and trying to punish Pete Rose for damaging the integrity of the game. You watched Faye Vincent stress to the hilt on how he was dealing with the Pete Rose problem. You saw the outcry from fans who would never, ever, ever forgive you for what you did to the Hit King. And now you've got information that Jordan's hanging around with these gamblers, and you're thinking to yourself, I ain't going down that road. I am not going to be the commissioner that suspends the greatest athlete on the planet. I will not do it. Wouldn't you come up with this plan?
Of course I would.
Wouldn't you get Jerry Reinsdorf in a room and go, look, I know you own the White Sox and he likes to play baseball. Do me a favor. Let's get him out of here for just a year or two. He can come back. I'm not keeping him out forever. I just got to get this to calm down. Get him to go play baseball for a bit. He's got to get out of this league for just a minute. I swear he can come back whenever he wants, but I need him out for at least a year. If he wants to spend two, fine. If he's mad at me and wants to spend three, fine. But I can't have him in. Tell me that's not a plausible explanation for what we all experienced in the early 90s when the greatest basketball player to have ever laced up said, by the way, I'm out. I am out. I'm the greatest competitor you will ever meet, and I'm done. I am done after three titles.
I'm done. I will say this. It probably would have been different if he came back and wasn't as dominant again.
Okay.
Like if he came back, like he retired after those three titles.
Right.
Went and played baseball, and then he came back to basketball. If he wasn't as dominant, maybe it was just like, okay, you know, maybe he saw the writing on the wall that, you know, he spent all he could have spent.
Right.
But
he came back.
He came back and I almost want to say he was a better basketball player during the second stretch.
Yeah, he came back, joined the Bulls mid-season. They made a playoff run but lost. They lost to the Knicks.
Right.
Right? Or yeah, I think they lost to the Knicks.
He was wearing 45, so it doesn't count.
Okay, then he gets a full season in, and then he goes right back to winning championships. You're right. Because if he had come back and he had been much less of a player, right, all right, the guy's been in the league since, you know, 84.
Yeah.
He's been around a while. It's been 10 years.
Maybe he was right for retiring the first time, and we never would have thought anything of it, but it feeds the conspiracy.
Sure.
Because when he had three full seasons underneath him again, he was more dominant than he was before.
Exactly. And listen, I love conspiracy theories. I think they're fun, especially in sports. I mean, maybe in real life. I mean, listen, if Buzz Aldrin is punching you in the face, I mean, I don't want to go that far. And there are some conspiracy theories that really hurt. I mean, the Sandy Hook situation, that's ridiculous, right? That hurts families when you perpetuate those kind of conspiracy theories. But you know what? Look, it's been, 60 years since Kennedy, and people still want to banter about that in bars. Great, fine, whatever.
Was it a lone gunman? Were there several?
We that's what we still do. Sports conspiracies don't really hurt very many people. It may hurt little legacies, but they're fun little conversations. I mean, look, did David Stern rig the draft so the Knicks got Patrick Ewing?
Yes.
Probably. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? Right? He needed the Knicks to be a power. He needed the Knicks to have a marquee name. Why not?
Well, of course. He didn't want Spike Lee coming after him.
Did they rig it so LeBron could go to Cleveland? Did they rig it so Cleveland could get LeBron? Probably. I don't know. Who knows?
No, the owner's son. I can't remember the son's name.
I can't remember. Yeah.
He was just lucky.
He was the good luck charm.
But
I'm telling you, man.
Out envelopes.
Go into any sports bar in America and toss this Jordan conspiracy theory out. You might get kicked out of the bar. In any parts of the nation. Gets no run at all. People think it's crazy.
I know. And we're in the middle of a new conspiracy theory about, you know, the Astros stealing signs and whatnot.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So who knows? You know, it's one of those ones. But anyway, back to this. On this date, Jordan came to bat in a White Sox uniform. Yeah, fulfilling the wishes of David Stern.
No, his father.
His father.
Who had passed.
All right, that aspect of the story is believable. Right? That aspect of the story does make a little sense.
Let's compare apples to apples, okay? Because we can in this situation.
We can in this situation. Okay, go ahead.
Michael Jordan going back, or you know, trying out for baseball, and you know all the success he had, and I'm using you know that mildly, versus Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's a better baseball player?
Right. Listen, I watched that Jordan Rides the Bus documentary, and Terry Francona, did you know Terry Francona was his manager in Birmingham?
Was he really?
Yeah.
How much pressure was that, by the way?
I know.
Hey, you have to start him. No, listen, I really don't want to. No, you have to.
I was visiting my friend in South Carolina, in the upstate area of South Carolina, I forget when it was, but... The Birmingham Barons were playing the Greenville Braves or Drive, whatever they were called back then. Anyway, we didn't go to the game. We didn't have tickets or anything, but we drove by the stadium and the crowd was incredible. Like the parking lot was jammed. Like you could see people outside the gates. Like we just commented on how amazing it was. You know, Jordan was on this team and, you know, probably the biggest crowd this baseball team has ever had, the most enthusiastic they had ever seen. It was a big deal. I mean, it was a big deal. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in his Barons uniform playing baseball. Yep. And there are people who swear if he had put some effort into it, gone to the Arizona Winter League, he worked his tail off to try to be good at it. He really, really worked his tail off. You know, that was Jordan. He was so competitive that, you know, that's what he did.
He had trouble with the curve, though.
Had trouble with the curve like all of them do. Teach a kid how to hit a curveball, he may eat for the rest of his life. That's basically the old mantra. It's SB Nation Radio at SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. This hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let's have some fun with the Jordan conspiracy on the anniversary of his first at-bat in baseball. By the way, you want to know what's heating up the Nashville sports talk radio airwaves?
Yes.
So the Titans are reportedly going to let Ryan Tannehill explore free agency.
You know why. There's no conspiracy behind that one, Tony.
There's a certain video of a certain quarterback FaceTiming a certain coach at a certain basketball game.
Listen, I saw on the news today that you, meaning you or me or anyone listening, can now take a video tour of Tom Brady's $33 million home.
Oh, let's do that.
You can take a video tour.
Where can I go to experience that level of luxury goodness?
That's right.
Do I have to sign up at his real estate office?
I don't think so. I think it's
Can big. I just do it anyway?
I think it's public now.
That's great. That is so great. Man, oh man. No, there's a lot of buzz about that. Now listen, I just asked the question. I said, "Well, don't they want to franchise tag Derrick Henry?" And so naturally they'd have to let Ryan Tannehill explore free agency. But the news is that they don't really, they want him to pursue it. Go out there and look. Maybe they'll make the offer. Maybe they'll make an offer. Maybe they won't.
I'm actually
one Boston writer put the Tennessee Titans now at 50-50 with the Patriots.
50-50.
He said, now listen, these guys are making this up. They're making this up, but I'm just bringing it up. I'm just bringing it to your attention. He says it's now 50-50. So I really would love to talk to this writer. So you mean to tell me that if I flip a coin, tails Titans, heads Patriots, where he's won six Super Bowls and has probably the best chance to win a seventh, you mean to tell me the flipping of the coin is equal between a team in Nashville, Tennessee, that is built with some good elements, but still not the Patriots?
New conspiracy theory. This is why Vrabel was hired.
Oh, wow. Wow. How that's like 10 move chess if that was the case. How brilliant would that have been? Imagine if the Titans said that at the press conference. We knew this all along.